Well, before we get started, I'd first of all just like to say thank you to Pastor for the opportunity to preach. I don't count it lightly. It's after being here for almost a year now, coming up on March 23rd, will be 1 year of moving down to Texas. And what I have learned from being in Texas is it's hot, it's very hot, it's humid, and it's still very hot and humid. So I've learned it's very warm here, but my time at the church, I've learned that ministry is a lot more than preachers make it seem to be. When Pastor gets up here every Sunday, he makes it look so easy. But me as a young buck, as we could say, this is hard stuff. I don't understand how he does it, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful we have a great leader, Pastor, and for his leadership and for the privilege, because now I understand the weight he carries each and every Sunday. He's dealing with believers. He's dealing with the hearts and the souls of people. That's not a light task. So I'm thankful to Pastor for this opportunity to preach. And before we get into it, I also just want to say the last time I preached, there was something I said, and after thinking back on it, the Lord addressed my heart about it, and it's just something that I would like to just come to you, church, on my behalf. And that was in regards to an illustration I used about visitation, and I said that it makes my blood boil. And I don't believe that in my own heart that was the right terminology, the right words to be used. And on visitation, the Lord spoke to me and he showed me that it wasn't a frustration or just a hardened heart towards people, but it was a disheartened heart, a broken heart, that a person would deny truth and be bold enough to deny it in front of us, to deny our Heavenly Father, who's given us everything. And before you, church, I'd just like to say I'm sorry for not saying the right words, but as a young preacher, I strive to say the right thing, and I do my very best, but, well, sometimes we fail. But I just want to come before you and just apologize and let you know I work hard at it, and sometimes I might fail, but the Lord helps me. He strengthens me, so I'm thankful for that. Well, this evening, the passage we're going to be in, I'm not going to announce it just yet, because I'd like to give some background on where we'll be. And I got a little nervous when Brother Noah announced his passage, because that's close to where we'll be tonight. And so before we get to our passage, I just want to bring us up to speed, give us a surrounding area of where we'll be at tonight. So in 1 Kings chapter number 22, there had been no battles between Israel and Syria for 3 years. But throughout the passage, that would change very soon. There would be a great battle, and there would be the death of some kings and the rising of other kings. And one of these kings, for instance, that would die was King Ahab, and he was the king of Israel. And he would go out to battle, as the Bible would say, in 1 Kings chapter 22, 29 through 40. And he would go out, and he would die in battle, and he would die in the battlefield. And then there would be a king that would rise up, and that was Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, and he began to reign over Judah. Now, the Bible says that Jehoshaphat was 35 when he began to reign, and he would reign for over 25 years. And what I realized was Jehoshaphat was an experienced king. This was not a young man. This was an older man. He understood some things. And during the time of Jehoshaphat's reign, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 22, 43, it says that he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. So we understand that Jehoshaphat was a man who followed God. He followed after his father. He followed the Lord. And because of that, Judah was blessed at that time. But as one great king rises, another king rose. And that was Uzziah. And he was the son of Ahab. Now, this king didn't live up to Jehoshaphat, if I could say it that way. In fact, Ahaziah would only reign for 2 years. And he would reign over Israel, which at the time would be in Samaria. And unlike Jehoshaphat, Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord. As 1 Kings 22, 51 would say, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. In verse 52, it says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of his father and the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. You have a great king, Jehoshaphat, who followed after the Lord, who was obedient. His father followed the Lord, so Jehoshaphat followed the Lord as well. Then we have Ahaziah, who followed after his father in disobedience to provoke the Lord to anger. And as we come to 2 Kings chapter number 1 is where we'll be tonight. After the death of Ahab, Moab began to rebel against Israel. Now at the time, Moab had been under Israel's control. And back in 2 Samuel chapter number 8, we see that David ends up capturing Moab and they become slaves to Israel. And so Moab is under Israel's control. And as we come to 2 Kings chapter number 1, we see that Moab is going to begin to rebel against Israel. So we'll start our reading in 2 Kings chapter number 1, in verse number 1, and it says this, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, is it not because there is not a god in Israel that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back unto him, he said unto them, and that be the king, why are ye now turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, and he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. And I'll just summarize verses number 9 through 14. That's talking about how the king would send he would send two captains of 50 with their 50, and they would go down, and their job was to go get Elijah and bring him back to the king. And in verses 9 through 14, well, that doesn't happen. In fact, there's a barbecue that happens with those 50 of 50, and they are scorched. And then the third captain, who had some sense about him, he went and he besought Elijah in verse number 14. And he tells him, he pleads to him. In fact, he says, therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And this third captain says, please spare me. And we'll pick up our reading in verse number 15. And it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with them, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there's no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Quite a story. Quite a story we have. We'll pray and we'll get into it this evening. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. And Lord, I thank for the first message we heard from Brother Noah, Lord, and just what a blessing that was. And Father, as I have these few moments, Lord, to preach before your people, Lord, would you just give me clarity of speech and calmness of my nerves and just allow this to be a blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like for you to use your imagination this evening, even though it's late and you all have worked a long day. But I'd like you to think it's the morning. Everybody is already dreading that. It's the morning. And it's 6:30, 7:30, 8:30, whenever you get up. And you wake up and it's the morning. And as you're getting up, you begin to start your day off. And you start to get a little sore throat. Or maybe a cough. And you think, this too shall pass. You know, you wake up and you have a drink of water or something. Usually it passes, but this too shall pass turns into this too shall last a lot longer than I thought it would. So you go over to the medicine cabinet and you pull out the cure-all remedy for everything, DayQuil, because that seems to cure everything or whatever medicine you take. And you take it and you take a swig of it, as Pastor would say, or you pop that pill and you think, just a matter of moments, I'll be feeling better. You know, the sickness will pass by, but after a few minutes, it doesn't go away. In fact, you think, well, I wonder if I should call out or not. And then the symptoms start to come. You start to get shortness of breath. You start to get a fever, hot flashes. You're sweating a little bit more than you would like to, and you start kind of hyperventilating and you think to yourself, oh no, I wonder what could it be. So you start to panic a little bit and you consider, do I call out or do I just go to work? And you debate back and forth, should I stay or should I go? And the coughing gets worse and the sweating. And so you do what half the world does. You pull out your cell phone and you start looking up your symptoms online. Has anybody, raise your hand, has anybody done that here? I'm seeing a lot of men who've done this, so I guess we're all in the same boat. And so you start researching, and after a scroll here and a click here and a few reads on WebMD, you come to the conclusion your symptoms are influenza, infectious, mononucleosis, pneumonia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. You think the worst of the worst, and so you go and you call your boss, say, I won't make it in today, I'm sick, and you drive down to the doctor. And you make your way down and you sit in the waiting room longer than you should have to. And then the nurse calls you in, they do the pre-check, and then they leave you in the room and you wait in the room for what seems like an eternity. You're just sitting there. You're wondering who will come first, the doctor or the Lord, but one will come. And the doctor finally comes in and he looks over your report and he maybe say, checks you. He goes, Now, if this was 5 to 10 years ago, he would have just given you your diagnosis. You would have been on your way. But now he says, one second, I'll be right back with a COVID test. So we all know what that is. And so he comes back in and he scratches your brain for you. And then he leaves. And after a little bit, he comes back and he has his charts and he goes, And usually when a doctor says, I go, And he says, you have the common cold. And you thought to yourself, man, you had a Rocky Mountain spotted fever, something like that. Embarrassment. We've all been there, and if you haven't, I've been there, so I'll admit it, I've been there. So you hang your head a little low and walk out of the doctor's office, pay for the visit. And as you drive your way home, you have a realization moment. You have, may I say it, an aha moment. And you think to yourself, maybe it wasn't as bad as it seemed. Or maybe I was looking for the answers in all the wrong places. Maybe I shouldn't have gone on to WebMD. Maybe I should have just given it some time. As my mom would say, if I got sick, like a headache, my mom would say, just give it some time. And I would be panicking. I'd say, Mom, there's no time left. This could be bad. Sometimes it's give it some time. But we've all been there where we've searched for answers in the wrong places. There's things going on in our life, and sometimes we look to the wrong places. We've all been there. As we look to the passage this evening, we look to a king who wasn't good at searching for the right answers. Or rather, may I say, seeking out the right source for his answer. As I stated a little bit earlier, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And as we looked and as we read the passage, we see that there was rebellion that was happening, and Moab was beginning to rebel against Israel. And there was a new king who was beginning to face challenges of his very own. Ahaziah ends up falling through the lattice in his upper chamber, and he becomes sick. And with that sickness, Ahaziah sends messengers to go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Ahaziah inquires of what he believes to be the cure. So he sends these messengers out and he says, go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. And so I looked up Beelzebub and I looked up the name definition because I wanted to understand who was Beelzebub. I've read him throughout the Bible. And his name, if you break it down, so Beel means Baal or Balaam, and Zebub means fly. I like the definition here. It said, especially one of the stinging nature. So go seek out the Lord of the fly. Go seek out this false god that is the definition of a stinging fly, because that makes plenty of sense. Go seek out that type of god. And not only is he seeking out a false god, but he's also going to a group of people who live near corruption. Because Ekron at this time was living near the Philistines, and we know that the Philistines were against God. And so these people were in a corrupt area of the map, of the geographical location. And this is where Ahaziah sent his messengers. He said, go inquire of corrupt people serving a corrupt God. That is where I will get my answers. Ekron didn't want anything to do with the Lord. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter number 5, the ark of God is brought to Ekron and Ekron. They want it out of there. They don't want anything to do with the Lord, and they want it gone. So we can already understand this, that this was a group of people that wanted nothing to do with the Lord. And this is who Ahaziah thinks his cure will come from. Nothing. Corruption. I don't understand it. He knows they're not a good group of people, yet he follows after his father. Beelzebub, Balaam, Balaam worship, false idol worship, that is what he is after. Now, when the king sends his message to the messengers to go inquire of Beelzebub, we understand that there's a message from the Lord to one of his messengers, Elijah. And the Lord tells Elijah that you're going to go meet with a messenger and you're going to tell him some things. You're going to tell him about the king and what's going to happen to him. And so Elijah ends up meeting with this messenger and he tells him what's going to happen to their king. And once the messenger hears this, he heads back to the king. And he goes and he tells the king, and the king says, why are you now turned back? And the messenger tells him, he says this, I have met a man, and he told me, go turn back unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. In verse number 6. Ahaziah probably wasn't expecting that answer from his servants. In fact, he was probably sitting there in his sick condition, and he was probably thinking to himself as the servant came back, what are you doing back so soon? And he was probably expecting the servant to say, King Ahaziah, I have spoken to Beelzebub. He said, you'll be all right. There's nothing to worry about. But in fact, he comes back and he says, King Ahaziah, I met a man. So the king says, well, who is this man? And the messenger explains it. And the messenger explains that he was a hairy man. That's quite a way to start a description. And he was girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. The description's not getting any better. But Ahaziah knew who this man was. He said, "That's Elijah the Tishbite." Elijah's name means God is Jehovah, God is God. You met with a man of God. I don't think that servant expected that. And so this king, after he hears the response of what Elijah had said, he sends these soldiers down, like I said, in verses 9 through 14. And these soldiers go and they tell Elijah, they said, "O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly." And Elijah says, "If I be a man of God, send fire down from heaven." And we see, whoosh, it's a roasted time. He's cooking away. And there's 150 gone, 250 gone, 350, 4. Then this third captain has some sense to him, and he besoughts, or he seeks out Elijah, and he says unto him, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servant be precious in thy sight." And the angel of the Lord would come to Elijah and say, "Go, don't be afraid." And so Elijah goes, and he makes his way to the king. And he rehearses unto him the words of the Lord in verse number 16, as it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely," what? "Die." Ahaziah would indeed surely die. And with no sons under him, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, would rule in his stead. Quite a story. But the question has to be asked. Is there not a God? Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that ye inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Is it because there is not a God in Israel to inquire of his word? There was a God in Israel. There was a God in Israel. There was a God in Israel, and there still is a God in Israel. He's still there. Nothing's changed. There was a God in Israel, and Ahaziah could have inquired of the Lord. So why? Why didn't Ahaziah inquire of the Lord? Why didn't he seek after the Lord? Well, Ahaziah didn't inquire of the Lord because he was never following the Lord. He was following after what his fathers followed after. False idols, Balaam worship. That was what Ahaziah had seen. That is the type of example Ahaziah had seen by his father. Follow after false gods, false idols. But Ahaziah must have known that there was a God in Israel because he knew who Elijah the Tishbite was. So if he knew that there was a man of God, a prophet of God, then he should have known there is a God. It would only make sense, right? But he didn't follow after him. He didn't inquire of the Lord. But what if he did? Ahaziah could have made a difference in his life, and he could have inquired of the Lord, and he could have sought after truth. He could have inquired of Elijah and said, "This, I know who Elijah is. He is a prophet of God." Elijah meaning God is God. I could have inquired of the Lord, God of God, God of everything. I could have inquired of the Lord. The one who has the answers, the one who has the remedies for my diseases. I could have inquired of him. Ahaziah inquired of the world for his cure. Inquired of the world to sustain his life. Inquired of the world to fulfill his life. Inquired of a group of people who were not following the Lord. He was inquiring after worldly friends to get answers. What if Ahaziah had just followed the Lord? He probably would have gotten the right answer. But because of his disobedience to the Lord, he got a diagnosis he never asked for. When we inquire not of the Lord, we won't get the diagnosis we ask for either. But when we do inquire of the Lord, we can find the Lord. We can find the Lord. Like I said, when we don't inquire of the Lord, we can receive a bad diagnosis. So I ask us, or I challenge us, are we inquiring of the Lord this evening? And maybe there's a situation or a difficulty in your own life, or maybe there's a family member you know of, and they're going through a difficulty of life right now. Maybe it's a job situation going on, or it's financials, or a relationship, or a situation of life, family problems, financial problems, whatever the problem. Who are you inquiring after? Who are you searching for? Have you gotten to the point where you've been waiting on the Lord to answer your needs? And God, it's getting a little hard. You have the symptoms of financial debt, the symptoms of sickness, the symptoms of maybe a friend lost in a sin-sick world. You see the symptoms and you know the cure. But you start to, I can figure this out. Maybe start to crunch the numbers a little bit more. Maybe you start to skip out on a little bit more church just to make sure that you can get that raise or that bonus. You start inquiring of Beelzebub, thinking he has all the answers you need. When really, we know who has all the answers. If I could say it this way, don't inquire of Bub, inquire of God. There can be a tendency to inquire of Beelzebub. And I know in my life, specifically when Sydney was looking for a new job, I know that we waited for some time. She was looking and it seemed like every door was closing. Have you ever been there when you're trying to get an answer and it seems that every door just closes? I mean, you turn left and right and the doors are just shutting on you. It can be easy to say, well, I think I can figure this out. I know what to do. So you say, Lord, I'll take care of this. Go this way a little bit farther, a little bit more. You're dwelling in Ekron. When really, we should be inquiring of the Lord. The word inquire means to tread or frequent, usually to follow or pursue or search. By implication, to seek or ask specifically to worship. Do you worship the Lord? Do you inquire of the Lord? Or have you given up on the Lord? Do you believe that your symptoms are too big for the one who can cure everything? It's a simple message with a simple truth, but we have a remedy. We have one who can give us the diagnosis or the cure we need in our lives. Whether it's sin or it's financial situation, or just difficulty of life, don't go to Bub. He'll never meet your needs. Just go to God, who meets all of our needs, all the time, every time. Maybe not when we expect it, but he always gives us the cure just when we need it. As I could say, just in the nick of time. So who are you inquiring of? Question we can all answer ourselves. Let's pray. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father,